Something's different this week, Matt, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
Actually, you've put both your feet on it, I think.
We're recording this in a different flat.
Moonbase 2, activate!
It's Tom and Matt Attack.
See, I even let you say Tom and Matt Attack.
I was a bit thrown off then when you pointed at me.
How are you doing, Thomas? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Cheers, Matthew. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me over to your humble abode and cooking me dinner.
It's okay. I like to do both of those things, have you over and cook you dinner. So it's fine. It worked out for me.
And it's just like a normal Sunday evening. We each have a cup of tea. We're podcasting across a table, a different table. But
a different table,
all
yes.
The same. We're actually closer together than normal.
We are, yeah. We're not
we
on the...
We could kiss if we wanted to. Not that we will.
No, not that we will. Your beard looks like it would tickle. How have you been, other than that? I haven't... this is the thing. Me and Tom, we see each other in pants...
In passing
in work and the such now, but
we don't live together, we don't comings and goings of each other. And
your gaming life is a mystery to me.
Oh, well, this makes the podcast even more exciting.
It's enigma wrapped in a podcast.
Because we don't know what's coming. Matt's hinted at a couple of things already that have
whetted
my appetite for today's podcast. Yeah, I've had a good week. I'd say a little gaming. Still... as is a current trend, not as much since you've left the house.
I was going to say, oh, well, I haven't really played that much. And then I realised I've clocked up like 12 hours on Final Fantasy.
I had every intention to actually sit down and do some proper video gaming today. But I just ended up doing other things.
Who has the time is the thing.
Who has that? I didn't today, you know, several social gatherings. One over Skype with my family.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've mentioned that, and then you had a cup of tea, and then some some other bits and bobs. I should have done a lot of things. The reason we're podcasting over such a small table is that I should have sanded the big table to our right, which is actually a dining-sized table, not this IKEA one that kind of reminds me of a school desk.
It should become pre-sanded.
It did. However, then we put wood soap on the table. And that
is wood soap.
Wood soap is well, if you run your fingers over the table that we're currently podcasting on, this
it's
is a laminated service.
Surface.
A laminated.
I provide a lamination service. The
I do. No, this is a laminated surface, and this is why obviously this one is so silky smooth. When you buy a genuine wood table like we have bought, it comes pre-treated. However, it is advised that you treat it yourself because it doesn't. No one knows how long ago this table was treated. So you were supposed to keep the upkeep. But no, it's kind of a recommended thing. And so we treated it, and then we read on the bottle, it says, like, hey, it can kind of muck up the tabletop a little bit where the loose grains from where it was cut the first time will raise slightly, and then you have to sand them off.
Very rough at the minute.
Yeah, it is. It's very coarse. Yeah. But yeah, we've got sandpaper to do that, and then we have some oil to put on it. We've got to lube it up so it's nice and smooth. Don't want it rough, Tom. It's going to catch.
No, it is. Yeah, you don't want it rough.
It's going to tear you up. So, it's rough. We need it nice and smooth.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll do that. So what have you been playing then, despite your social obligations? So,
this morning, I played a bit of Soul Calibur 2 HD.
Hatchta.
I was hoping actually to indulge in some online gaming. So
I
jumped on there. I went, this is Soul Calibur 2 HD online. Let's make use of this online. No one's playing it.
Hang on HD Soul Calibur. Did you buy this on the Xbox?
Soul Calibur 2, no, for the PS3.
Oh, you have it on the PS3. I was going to inquire.
It was an offer one
buy...
week.
Okay.
We probably talked about it on the podcast.
I think we did.
Yeah. And no one's playing it. Couldn't host a game, couldn't join a game. It's pretty redundant.
Yeah.
I'd actually tried playing Soul Calibur 4 the previous morning, hoping maybe to find a game. because I don't have Soul Calibur 5 for the PS3. And of course, without access to an Xbox at the minute, I haven't been able to play it. And I just fancy some online fighting game action. And Soul Calibur is the one that I actually stand a chance at winning. So I thought Soul Calibur. No one's playing Soul Calibur 4 either.
No.
It wouldn't seem, anyway.
Well, like, you've got to think about it this way, right? Like, if you were to run into anyone playing Soul Calibur 4 online, a game that is, what, roughly 4 or 5 years old at this point, I would say?
I can't remember.
Because, I mean, Soul Calibur 5 came out not long after we came to Denmark, and that was 3 years ago.
Soul Calibur 4 predates that by at least 2.
Yeah, so years. Like 5-6 year old game. Anyone who is still playing that game online is going to be very fucking good anyway. So chances are you would have had your bottom handed to you, and then you wouldn't have enjoyed it as much as you would have thought.
I don't
anyway.
Know. You underestimated my ability at Soul Calibur, Matthew.
I know you play this game every week, but you know you're not some Japanese guy who's only played Soul Calibur 4 for the last 7 years in training in the dark, and so he's like playing it blindfolded.
I've been playing Soul Calibur since the Dreamcast version weekly since I was at high school.
Comprehensive.
Yeah.
Don't go American on me.
High school is what we call it.
Really?
Campton High School is where I studied.
Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe it's different in Wales. I don't know.
Well, I went to a comprehensive school. I don't really know the difference there, but yeah. Mm. Mine wasn't called a high school.
Okay. Well, mine was. And I've been playing Soul Calibur since I was in my early teens.
Yes.
Anyway, I didn't get to play it online, so I just played it offline for a little while. I do quite enjoy the sort of the story. What is it? Story mode, Weapon Master mode on Soul Calibur 2, which is where you go through different scenarios. And not always straightforward fights. Sometimes there's a special ability, like if a character hits you, it stuns you for a second.
Okay.
They've got poison weapons and things like that. Or there was a cool one actually, where you're having a fight where every so often there'd be a countdown, meaning if you didn't block when the countdown hits zero, you die automatically. It's like the whole level shakes.
Yeah.
Like it auto kills you.
Wow.
So you have to keep finding the opportunities to block while you're fighting the other characters. So there's all these sorts of different missions. And yeah, some of them are quite frustrating. I got to a point where I was playing the game and I was like, I'm just getting really, really frustrated now. You know, I'm meant to be having fun. I'm not having fun right now doing these missions. This one's just particularly irritating. So I just said, I'm turning it off. And and that was that.
That was
it. I didn't play another video game all day, I don't think.
Threw the controller, dusted your hands.
Yeah.
Walked away. Yeah. Sad.
So that was my Soul Calibur experience for the weekend. A little bit sad.
It is.
But I still like Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur 2 is very fast. Oh, I made Conan the Barbarian on Soul Calibur 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I had a great character. And I watched Conan the Destroyer on Friday night, the sequel to the original Conan the Barbarian.
Has that got Arnie in?
Mm.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a TV series that doesn't have Arnie in. I think from like 97 or
something
like that.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Conan the... And actually, Arnie is down at being a new Conan film called Conan the Legend or something like that.
Would he be like Conan's dad?
I'm really not sure. He couldn't play Conan now.
No, he couldn't. Hopefully not, unless he's like old Conan.
Yeah, but he never kind of answers the question. At the end of the both Conan films with Arnie in, it says, and he became king eventually, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
And it always ends him sitting on his throne like, yeah, I'm king.
Like Vin Diesel does at the end of Riddick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You never seen Chronicles of Riddick?
No, I haven't.
Not worth it.
But I want to know how he became king, and maybe in the new Conan film we'll actually find that out. Or I could go back and maybe explore the character of Conan outside of the movies.
In literature. Mm-hmm. Conan's such a good name, isn't it?
Like, it is.
Conan.
He is the ultimate barbarian. I was trying to think, are there any other barbarians that match, in popular culture, Conan?
Are there really any other barbarians in popular culture?
It's a good question. There's got to be another popular barbarian somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah, if you have any idea of any other popular barbarians in popular culture.
Not popular Bavarians, though. It's just like different.
Please do let us know. I think Matthew's looking it up now on his phone.
I am, yeah. Popular Barbra Streisand songs. Not quite the same thing either. No, I'm going to leave this go.
No, I want to know what you've been playing this week.
Well, I've been playing not really a lot, to be honest with you. I played a bit of Crayon Shin-Chan 4, which we previously mentioned. I played a bit of, and then Super Mario 4, the spin-off. Super Mario.
Sorry, I keep pulling you up.
Stop pulling me up on it. It's late. I'm tired. I've had a stressful day of playing Final Fantasy Type Zero HD.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so I played that aforementioned game. Something that when I put to the Twitter audience of what do you guys think of Final Fantasy Type Zero, they were all like, yeah, well, I haven't played it yet because I've just been playing the Final Fantasy 15 demo that comes with it.
Oh, and you didn't do that?
I don't have the internet, so I don't have a choice. Yeah, gone are the good old days when you'd buy Final Fantasy VI for the PS1 and get a Final Fantasy X demo with it.
At least it's playable without internet connection.
Yes, it is, thank God.
In this day and age, you never quite know, do you?
No, exactly, and I kind of put it in going like, please don't tell me there was a day one patch, please don't tell me there was a day one patch. Because I was thinking, like, if you couldn't cement the launch of Final Fantasy XV's demo so much that it says on the front, like, release date might vary of the demo, I was like, oh God. Please tell me this works. And it worked fine. I got up to the end of the 5th chapter of 8. So it'll probably show you how much I've been playing this game.
Wow.
Not your stereotypical JRPG, though, in length or in terms of the gameplay mechanics.
Which I'll get into
in a moment. I think you would.
Oh,
I think if there was any Final Fantasy-type game that you could get into, it would be this one.
Type Zero HD.
Because Type Zero came out on the PSP a long, long time ago.
And never released outside of Japan.
Never released outside of Japan, even though there was a fan translation of it made in 2013, I want to say, that I nearly bought. Mm-hmm. But didn't. Well, I nearly bought the game and then you load a patch into it. It's very good. Very fucking dark introduction. Like, I'm kind of thinking on it afterwards, it's kind of like Final Fantasy 4 and 6 kind of had dark starts to it. Essentially, it's kind of, it's told in a really interesting way. It's kind of told like a World War II documentary. And so it shows loads of maps and loads of like enemies going on it, and it's narrated in the past tense. Yeah, it's kind of got that that feel to it, and it's like showing like grainy videos and stuff, which I guess is to cope with the PSP's old school not ability to be able to render these cutscenes very well, and so everything's very faded and everything's very grainy footage. They do spice up the things with HD models, but then you see NPCs and they're not very good. But it's telling it as in, you know, this great war happened, not in a traditional Final Fantasy, like this is happening as you're doing these things. And it starts with essentially this war, this country declares war on your country, and they
never a good start.
Break a treaty and invade your country. Like, while they're attacking them at the main bit of the capital, they also sneak around the back. And it's part of the Final Fantasy 13 Fabulous Crystalla Nova. I can't remember if that's what it's called or not. When they made Final Fantasy 13, they were like, yeah, this is such a cool game that we're going to make spin-off games and stuff of it. And then they never really did. This one kind of gently ties into it with the fact that the summons are called Eidolons, and there's people who can summon stuff called Lassie, which is what Vanille and the other woman in Final Fantasy 13 are.
Okay.
So, like, it's kind of got loose things that this is set years and years before Final Fantasy 13 was, though it never really touches upon it other than just in brief passing, because this became its own thing. Mm. And yeah, so these guys invade the country and proceed to murder everyone. And I mean murder. I mean like soldiers walking up. They jam this. These people are like magic users because the four continents are all different things. There's like the Black Turtles, which are, and these aren't their names. They're named much cooler than that. But there's like a Black Turtle fraction and country who are all about defense. There are the Vermilion thingies, it's a bird one that you play as, and they are magic users. There's a dragon people as well who ride dragons and are dragoon knights and stuff. And then there's the White Tigers who are the main bad guys who are kind of like Nazi Germany, in that they're invading everywhere and sneaking in and stuff, and they've all got very German military-esque uniforms.
And they're specifically wanting to kill magic users? Or
no, they want to take over the world. They want to, in typical Final Fantasy fashion, they want to steal your crystal that's powering your thing.
Of course.
So they come in and literally, like, all of these guys are dressed like futuristic, like Nazi soldiers, not in a Hellgast kind of way, but they've all got like big uniforms and cloaks and crazy stuff. And there's guys with like admiral hats on leading the charge. And they literally, like, they put a crystal jammer down, so all these magic users who were defending their homes stopped being able to use magic and all kind of like, what the fuck? And then they just all started getting gunned down. And I mean, like, proper, like, bullets flying through people and blood splatting everywhere as these soldiers are, like, marching up the main street and everyone's trying to run away from them.
It's quite a grown-up.
Proper, I was just like, what the fuck? And my girlfriend was watching it, just like, seriously? Because it's a bit where a guy who then turns out to be one of the main character's brothers later on in the game is dying in the street. Like, you see a chocobo kill someone as well, which is chocobo. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Those cute little birdies.
The cute little birds, but he's riding it because he's a chocobo knight. And so, like, he
does
gets...
it look like a mean chocobo?
It's got, like, armor on the head and stuff, but it literally, like, rips someone apart with his beak, and then it's got, like, all blood all over the feathers and stuff. But the guy, like, they shoot the chocobo then, and then, like, they shoot the guy, and he's just like, have you seen a guy in a red cloak? And he's dying really dramatically. Mm. And then pretty much just as all this is happening, big fucking flaming explosion, lightning bolt thing hits the ground. Odin appears and just starts laying waste to all these soldiers. And
this
then,
is all a cutscene.
Yeah. And then Class Zero, which is who you play as in this game, all land on the floor, and it turns out they can use magic even though everyone else can't. So they just start going mental, and they're referred to as the Red Demons.
I see.
Because they're stupid strong compared to everyone else. And so they start tearing up the place, and they run over to this guy, an Ace, who is one of the main characters.
Cool name.
Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate it. Tries to, like, save this guy with the cure spell, but it doesn't work. And so he just kind of walks away, and then the guy's kind of just, like, he's like, sorry, we've done everything we can, leaves. And, like, the guy's crying and, like, going, I don't want to die! And, like, it's really, really, really dramatic. It's like, it's not even the start of the game. Like, this is, like, leading into the start of the game. Like, this is before you even press start.
Oh, right, okay.
And, like, once you press start, then it shows, like, the extended bit of this cutscene of you, like, this guy passes away, and then it you realise that when someone dies on a battlefield, the crystals are kind of stopping you remembering who they are. So this guy dies really dramatically, and it's obvious that this Ace guy knew who he was, and he says goodbye to him and stuff. But then it turns out pretty much that this crystal stops you remembering the names of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not bogged down with guilt and stuff when you're a soldier and all this kind of stuff. So it's all a bit deep and all a bit heavy.
Yeah, interesting themes, yeah.
And the story started like, wow, I was just like, fuck, this is a really like deep Final Fantasy game. This actually has a story, and like, I don't know who these characters are, but I kind of care about them, and it's taken lots of aspects of like past Final Fantasy games that I love. There's magic armor from Final Fantasy VI, essentially Class Zero, and the whole cadet system that they are Class Zero of is Final Fantasy VIII's garden system. I don't know if you ever played Final Fantasy VIII.
I've played it.
You know that you're all in a school.
Yeah, you're in a school, yeah.
Well, that's the same deal here. You're all in a school. It's got the chocobo breeding thing from Final Fantasy VII. In fact, Ace kind of looks a little bit like Cloud. And yeah, it's pretty much then you go around the town, it kind of teaches you how to do things. But what the game is you are 14 characters, you are 14 people within Class Zero, and all of these people are a different Final Fantasy class.
Mm.
So Ace is a gambler. He uses cards, throws them and stuff.
Gambit.
Yeah, pretty much. There's also then, like, pretty much depending on what they are, they have different weapons. There's not, like, a straight-up mage or straight-up fighter. They all use different weapons, and in doing so, they incur different abilities. Everyone can use magic. But it's not a turn-based system. In fact, it kind of reminds me at points of Dynasty Warriors.
Right.
In that it's kind of got this big sprawling arena, not in the case that you're killing hundreds of millions of people at the same time.
I'm worried that there's no strategy to something like that.
There is. There definitely is, because depending on who you're using and what you're doing with them helps you a lot in battle, and you're always a squad of three, which you can switch between them with a button press, and when one of them falls in battle, then you call up a new one and go, oh shit, well I've lost my long range guy, now I need to bring in this long range guy.
Yeah. Action... orientated.
Yes, very action orientated. If you ever played, do you ever play the PSP game Crisis Core?
Briefly.
Yeah, but you know, like that kind of hack and slash gameplay, running around an arena, killing things. It's that, but it feels more grandiose. It's kind of got elements of
grandier.
Not grandier. No. No, it's a bit of a stretch. not nicely animated like that, but. It draws in, I think, Final Fantasy XII, which is a game I've never played, admittedly. But also then, it kind of reminds me of PSO a little bit, in the fact how the dungeons and stuff are laid out in sections, and you have to kind of kill all the things in that area before you progress. But there's not a lot of, like, gear, so you don't really have to worry about, like, how equipped your characters are for a situation. It's more about you using them and leveling them and kind of being even distribution between your characters. And it's just really good. Like, the storytelling becomes a bit too fragmented for my liking a little bit later on, where obviously they kind of used a lot of their budget up front, like setting the scenes and like moving things along at a really nice pace. But then you get bits where you just kind of like jump in the story, and then there's like a flashback going like, oh, don't you remember this happened? I'm like, well, I would prefer you were just told it straight, and then it would have been a bit better. But I'm really enjoying it.
It's a restriction of it being a portable game originally. It's not as big as maybe some...
No, it isn't. Though I did read on the internet originally that someone was saying like, oh, it's like 30, 40 hours. But I've really, really been taking my time, and up until about 3 hours into gameplay-wise from where I am now, I was trying to do every side mission. I was trying to do all these things. And then I thought, ah, bugger it. I'm playing through it on Cadet because I haven't got time to grind up 14 party members if I'm going to play this game. So I'm playing it on the easiest difficulty setting just so I can get the story and just so I can experience it. But it's a really good game. Like, I'm quite surprised how good it is.
I am glad to hear it's a good one.
Because I didn't expect anything, but then I picked it up and I really enjoyed Crisis Core on the PSP. Mm. And so
surprised that hasn't had a HD remake.
I'm quite surprised as well. You never know. Given the success of this one, it seems to have done quite well.
Yeah, this one, I guess this one came before because it had never been released outside of Japan, whereas Crisis Core was more available.
Yes.
So. But also a risk, really, because people know that they probably like Crisis Core.
Yeah, but people wanted this game. And it's all based off of Crisis Core, like the same system. It's not got the slot system that Crisis Core had. But you can kind of make up for that anyway by the combat advantages and changing between characters and stuff.
So if it does well, which it more than likely will do, then maybe we'll see Crisis Core HD.
Yes.
In the not too distant future.
I believe they're getting Final Fantasy XII HD.
Okay.
I wouldn't
be surprised. Not when there's God of War 3 HD.
Yeah. But I mean, like...
Not HD, is it? It's what they're calling it? Remastered?
I can't even remember.
Just like The Last of Us, kind of.
Yeah.
PS3 games being remastered with PS4. Now, God of War 3 is a very good-looking game, as it is.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine it's going to look...
But can't you get, like, a God of War trilogy on the PS3?
Hmm?
And why didn't they just do them all up again? You know what I mean? Like... Because God of War 3 was a pretty early PS3 game, right?
So it's one of the best looking PS3 games.
Yeah, but still, it came in like they released a God of War trilogy. So I don't know. Like, if they've made the effort of making God of War 1 and 2 HD already, then why didn't they just put them in the pack as like a freebie?
Maybe they might. I know they had recently had a sale on the PlayStation Store, God of War sale.
Yeah.
So they were trying to maybe get some interest there.
I've never played God of War 1 or 2. Even though I own God of War, I've never played it.
Right.
I really need to get on that. when I'm going back through the PS2 games that I've missed, I'm going to play God of War. After I get a PS3, I'll borrow Shadow of the Colossus off you, complete that. Then I'm going to play Okami, is the next one I'm going to play, and then I'll probably play God of War.
Yeah, I'm kind of wanting to get through some of the classic PS3 games myself. As I mentioned previously, I wanted to play Uncharted, but I never got around to that.
It's good.
Uncharted 2's better.
They all kind of tie into each other. Mm. Like, I would say play Uncharted 1. I think if you play it how you play games, where you're not playing it at prolonged lengths of time, I don't think it'll feel as samey.
Okay.
So it might be good.
So we'll keep hinting at the fact I might play Uncharted.
Yeah, we'll tease it.
I have actually been playing another game this week, and one that I got to play through a very generous offer by Nintendo, which I didn't know existed until this last weekend.
Nor did I!
If those observant of you will notice on the Nintendo eShop, there is a little notice saying, make sure you redeem your Nintendo Premium Points before the end of April or something like that. I thought, what Nintendo Premium Points? Go to this website to find out more. So I went to the website, found out Nintendo Premium Points, you become a Nintendo Premium member if you've bought any of the black Wii U consoles, the ones which had the bigger hard drive.
Yes.
As a reward for spending the extra money, Nintendo made you a premium member. And what that means is every time you buy software off the eShop, you get points. Every 500 points you get £5 back, or equivalent, whatever country you're from.
Yeah.
So I found out I already had 2 £5 off vouchers. Wow, so I redeemed them and decided to pick up NES Remix. NES Remix, not NES Remix 2, but the original.
Yeah.
NES Remix. And it's great fun. It's a game I've been wanting to pick up for quite some time. And this was just a perfect opportunity to do so.
Seen it. Looks quite fun. What are the games you start with?
Okay, so beginning of the game, you've got Donkey Kong, Super Mario Brothers. Oh, Mario Brothers, sorry.
Yeah.
Should I say. Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers. Excitebike. Bloon. What's that?
Bloon Fight.
Donkey Kong Jr.
Excitebike?
I said Excitebike, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's maybe another one. Can't quite remember.
Mac Rider, sorry, is the one I was thinking of, not Excitebike.
No. I assume they'll look more like Zelda, I guess, will appear at some point.
Yeah.
But so far, the challenge is they start off simple, and they get impressive, obviously, progressively harder.
Yeah.
There's like 7 challenges for Donkey Kong, beginning 13 for Bloon Fight. So it's quite a lot. And it's addictive. And every so often, once you get a certain amount of points, you'll unlock NES Remix levels. And they are kind of more special levels. They're not direct. They don't look exactly like the original NES games. They've kind of got this, it's hard to explain, a new look to them.
Yeah.
Kind of layered, like you imagine a cutout animation made of different layers.
Yeah.
So that it's kind of reimagined, the graphics look a little bit different, and they give you a very specific challenge. For example, there's a Super Mario Brothers one, where Mario is constantly running to the right, and you've got to dodge obstacles and fish and make sure you hit other platforms and don't fall off before you start again.
Okay.
And that's very challenging. And as I was playing that one, I was thinking, Nintendo's recent announcement to make mobile games.
Yeah.
This NES Remix feels to me like a testing ground for some ideas for what Nintendo could do for
smartphone games.
And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the first games you see for Nintendo will be NES Remix on phones.
Interesting. It would make sense.
Or at least some of the mini games for NES Remix. Because essentially that Mario challenge is an endless runner.
Yeah.
A Mario endless runner with NES style graphics kind of makes sense to me.
Does.
So let's see what Nintendo come up with. But I know a lot of people have enjoyed NES Remix. I always see it up there on the main menu on the Wii U. People are always playing it. I can definitely see the appeal. It's very addictive.
You know what I'd really like Nintendo to do as a mobile game? A new WarioWare title.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens too. Because essentially, that's what NES Remix is, really. It's the retro sections of the WarioWare games.
Yeah, but I mean, it could do like blow, and then you have to like sing into your microphone, or like tilt, and you have to quickly rotate your phone around because the gyroscope, or like tap, hit the microphone in beat, and
Nintendo, it's no doubt Nintendo are going to make good smartphone games.
Hopefully.
I think.
Fingers crossed.
And they won't just port things like Mario Brothers.
They can't. Like they physically can't. They've talked about it. They don't want to port those games without a controller.
No.
So I hope they stick to that, because Mega Man 2 on there is on the iPhone is absolutely wank, because the digital controller is terrible.
Yeah, I've had mixed experiences with digital controllers. I've found it quite easy to play Sonic 2 on a phone.
Yeah.
Sonic 1, not so much. Sonic 2, I don't know why exactly. It's some tricky bits in Sonic 1, like the second level.
Yeah.
Yeah, so really good experience. I recommend it to anyone. Also got to play Olly Olly 2 this weekend, a game which has garnered much critical praise.
Yes,
since it's the original was released. It featured on Blast Process not so long ago either. I know Mike enjoyed the game. And yeah, it's very good. It's like an endless runner sort of thing, I suppose.
Kind of.
No, it's not really like an endless runner.
It's kind of got that aesthetic, isn't it? It's a side on, like, go until the end kind of thing.
Yeah, you need fast reaction times.
I'd say it's more like Trials.
Yeah.
It's probably a closer comparison.
Yeah. But the real challenging thing is pressing X to land,
yes.
I think. You know, so what you do is you go from one side of the screen to the other, you push up on the left stick to jump, and then you do an ollie.
Yes.
And then you press X before you're due to land it successfully. Now you can do all the tricks, like if you do a quarter circle on the stick, you'll do some other kind of kick flip or something.
Yeah,
and then there's half circles and such. And I can see this getting really addictive. It's not instantaneous to get to grips with. I think it's going to take a little bit of time to really feel the control system for it.
Yeah.
But I can see it as being a lot of fun and another freebie from PlayStation Plus. So
can't fault a freebie.
I can't fault a freebie. I know it's technically not a freebie because I'm paying the PlayStation Plus membership.
You are.
But I think PlayStation Plus is really worthwhile.
It is.
And yeah, I'm quite happy to pay, what is it, £40 a year to enjoy games which I might not necessarily have picked up otherwise or played.
No, that's kind of the wonders of it. Like, I played a little bit of Secret Ponchos a couple of weeks ago when I first moved in here that I didn't talk about on the podcast. That was all right.
Yeah.
Like, that was a game I never would have played otherwise.
Yeah. Be tempted to get the original Olly Olly for Wii U.
It's on Wii U, is it?
Yeah, it is now. And I say that because I should be able to get another 500 premium points soon. I'm hoping that my purchase of NES Remix will count towards my purchase games and my points, but seeing that it was bought with
you never know.
Money I got from Nintendo.
I mean, technically it's money, so.
It is money, yeah.
Yeah, suppose. Maybe.
But Nintendo, yeah, I'm ceasing this service, so I suggest everybody.
Are they also, when are they killing the Stars catalogue?
Oh, they're killing everything, aren't they? I don't know, I can't remember.
I guess that would be the end of the year, like as in the end of fiscal year, so probably the end of the month. Shit, I should really redeem all those codes and get Ball, the Game & Watch game.
Yeah.
I should get on that. I've still got a shitload of points.
It's such a chore to redeem them, though.
Yeah, but I've
and
got like
the questionnaire
I've got
every
a
time.
Lot of Club Nintendo points that I've never redeemed.
Yeah, so you need a really long while to get through that.
Shit. Yeah, I went to a flea market yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Surprise, surprise. Are you?
I'm not surprised.
Well, no, it isn't. It's the start of flea marketing season. Next week is the big flea market that I buy lots of Game Boy stuff at, so I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
However, this week I went to a Scouts flea market, which those of you who listen to the podcast regularly will know that this is the first flea market I went to last year.
You scouted out a Scouts flea market?
I did. It's like Bedlam, though. I fucking hate this flea market because everything's really cheap.
Mm.
Therefore, nobody gives a fuck about anyone else. Everyone's just
free
running around grabbing as much stuff as they can because nothing costs anything. Case in point, the Guitar Heroes Warriors of Rock PS3 guitar that you so astutely spotted in the living room, Thomas.
I did astutely spot that.
How much would you wager?
Wait, you tell me it
cost.
Doesn't come with a USB
it
receiver.
It did not come with a USB
so
dongle, unfortunately.
It's useless.
Well, for the time being.
Do you've attracted on that elusive USB dongle? 50 kroner.
Five.
5 kroner.
Yes.
That is like 50p.
That is like 50 pence.
Mm.
But
well, I couldn't turn my nose up at that, yeah.
No, well, there was also a Wii one as well, which I'm kind of kicking myself for not getting. It was the Guitar Hero 3 one, and I could have used that. Hmm. But I didn't get it. And I'm kind of like, oh, well, maybe I should have, but we'll see. The reason I got the PS3 one is obviously Harmonix have said that they're going to use Rock Band with the existing instruments. And so I was like,
well, that's a good idea.
Now it seems like a time to get one of these for the PS4 then.
And for 50p, you can't.
For 50p, you can't go wrong. And I'm I've looked online, the dongle's probably like 20 quid, but I'm sure if I looked around, I can get one. That guitar, though, without the dongle, selling for like 20, 30 quid. Okay. On eBay, like
that particular one.
Yeah, that one, surprisingly.
Maybe the prices will go up now. People know that it's going to be a new.
Yeah, perhaps. Though I guess as well. I mean, you don't have the Warriors of Rock one, do you?
No,
I don't think.
No.
It's because it was like the last one they did, yeah, so maybe that's added to its obscurity.
I imagine there's people out there who collect the different guitars.
I think so. Hmm. But so I bought that. I got a copy of Dino Crisis for the PS1 as well, for 5 kroner. Got it home. Opened it up. Game was in there. It was fine. Oh, manual's in there as well.
Whew.
However, inside the manual was a copy of Digimon Rumble Arena.
That's a game that's on my list.
Is it really?
Games to get, yeah. Because it's a fighting game.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Then you may have it, Thomas.
Matthew.
It's okay. I'm not sure it works, but yeah.
Thank you.
It's okay. It's only a disc, though.
Yeah,
you can have it. I'll give it to you after this.
Wow.
So yeah, that was in the pile. So I was like, oh, that's good. And then, Tom, I went over to another table, and I bought this.
Oh, he's getting something out from this table. It's very exciting. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, that's a Wii console.
It is a Wii console.
With some games.
With Wii Sports, Wii Fit, some EA Active.
No balance board.
No. And Tiger Woods PG Tour 09. That was not the reason I bought it. The reason
I
bought it.
You get a nice Wii remote.
Was because I got a Wii remote.
With Motion
with
Plus.
With a Motion Plus.
That's great.
Which
a nice
is.
Black one.
Much more than what I paid for this. 2 sensor bars.
Well, when you...
And then
2 sensor bars.
And a regular Wiimote.
Okay, that's great.
Weirdly, an extra like rubber thing for a protector. So I guess there was also another Wiimote with this console at one point, but it wasn't when I got it. Mm-hmm. It's also the GameCube version.
Okay.
So it's the early
nice.
Console, which is nice.
Do you own a Wii?
I own a Wii back in the UK, but I would never take it because my family actually use it occasionally when my nephew comes around. British.
It's a British
weirdly.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Did it actually come with the plug adapter?
It did come with the plug adapter.
You see, if I'd have taken that off, because that's kind of handy.
Yeah, it is. Right. 100 kroner.
10 quid. 10
yeah,
British
10
pounds.
10 British pounds.
For a Wii console.
For a Wii
with
console.
Two controllers, one Motion Plus, 3 games. No, well, Wii Sports as well.
Believe it or not, Wii Sports sells for a tenner on eBay.
I mean, just for a Wii Sports console, just a way to play Wii Sports is quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you've got the setup there.
But I bought it because I have one Wiimote
here.
So I was just like, well, I could do with another Wiimote.
Now you can play Mario Party 10.
I can. Yay!
Which I deliberated buying at the weekend, but then read some not so favourable reviews.
Really?
Maybe if I wanted a Mario Party, I might be better off with 8 on the Wii.
Oh, maybe Wii's. Mario Party 8 is supposed to be okay.
Yeah.
I think you'll probably pick that up for about 100 kroner now. I'm sure
it's
I've
£20 retail price.
I've seen that in Fona here in Denmark for quite reasonably priced. The classics version of it.
Yeah.
So maybe pick that up.
But yeah, I was tempted to get it because it's quite affordable. In fact, on the online store, Zavvi.com, it's only £25.
I think it's cheaper you, I would check.
I've checked. It's 300 kroner.
In where?
In Fona.
Oh, really?
That's the cheapest I've seen.
Shit, okay.
No, but I could have got it for £25 as a download with my extra premium points.
Yeah.
But I decided I didn't really want it. I'm not the biggest Mario Party fan.
I will keep an eye out for you next week.
Nah, I'm not going to bother with it.
I think I could probably pick that up in a car boot next week for about a fiver.
What, 8?
Yeah.
Okay. Have a look for 8, because I wouldn't mind spending a little bit of money on New Mario Party for I can play on the Wii U.
There was a table of Wii games last time, and it had things in it that I'm kind of regretting not buying, such as Galaxy, and they were all like £5.
You don't own Galaxy?
I don't own Galaxy. I don't own Galaxy 2 either. Oh. I might own Galaxy 2, actually. I can't remember. But yeah.
Okay, well, that's a bargain. Is that the Danish deal of the week?
I believe that is the Danish deal of the week.
Oh, fantastic.
I try.
And Matthew, I bought something this week.
Shit!
Can you see what it is?
I hope that's not on the Mega Drive.
Lion King for the Game Boy Color, boxed.
Lion King for the Game Boy Color, you say?
Lion King Simba's Mighty Adventure, if I'm not mistaken, is what it's called.
Interesting.
There is a Game Boy Color version and a PlayStation version. PlayStation version, I watched a playthrough of it. Well, some of a playthrough of it. Wouldn't sit there for an hour. Which is pretty cool. It follows the story very close. It's got cutscenes and everything, but it just looks like a fairly generic kind of Crash Bandicoot style because it's from behind and you're just picking up things. And it looked frustrating. So I thought, no, I won't bother with that. The Game Boy Color game, I previously looked for on eBay last week and it was like £20, £25 just for the cartridge. Okay. I was like, I guess this is a pretty obscure game.
Is it from console cost? Is it from a German seller?
No, I don't think
so. Was it Buy It Now for that price?
Nah, I don't know. There were a couple of copies up there of the same sort of price.
Could be from console cost. There's a German eBay seller
that
I have bought games from, and occasionally you can get a good deal from. Yeah. However, they just amp up their prices. Like a copy of We're Back, A Dinosaur Story with them is like £80, and where you can pick up a cart for like £2-3.
Right, okay. But I got the feeling this game actually might be quite obscure. And I saw it boxed for £6 with £3 postage or something
I've
like
not
that.
Seen it before. Like, I didn't know, so maybe it is.
And it looks nice. It looks like they've taken the sprites from the, I guess, the Game Gear Math System game.
Yeah.
And it's all animated rather smoothly and looks pretty fun.
Okay.
And I heard it's fun. So I did it. I bought it.
Oh, I'd be interested to try that when you get it.
For the Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color.
How do you feel about the Game Boy Color as a more of a original Game Boy collector?
I'm okay with the Game Boy Color. Like, once I've got the Game Boy, maybe I will move on to buying stuff for the Game Boy Color. But I don't know. Like,
how do you feel about the transparent plastic cartridges?
I like the transparent plastic cartridges. Here is one to my left of Pomeranzen's VIP, which is a game I was given this week.
Oh, you've been playing it?
Yeah, it's pretty shit, to be honest with you. And that's my problem with the Game Boy Color, is there's...
And a PlayStation version too that's pretty terrible.
I bet it is. It's VIP. It's weird, because it starts off in like a car section and then kind of goes on to like a like side-scrolling running gun thing, which is kind of interesting.
The PlayStation game is like a rhythm game. You just beat people up, it tells you what buttons to press, and you just press them in turn, and she beats them up with a handbag.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing. Fuck, I need to buy that game. I gotta look that up. That sounds awesome.
Angry Video Game Nerd reviewed it over Christmas.
Yeah.
What was it? The 12 Shits of Christmas.
Okay. no, but my problem with the Game Boy Color is...
Yeah, go on.
There seems to be a lot laxer quality control of the games on that system. Mm. There are some fucking terrible Game Boy Color games.
Worse
than that. I've played some god-awful Game Boy Color games over my time. Can't really think of any. Fortunately, my file of Game Boy Color games is just to my left, so I will open it up.
Yeah, there's another Game Boy Color game, a Disney one, that I was thinking about getting. It's quite pricey, though. £20 box, I've seen it on eBay. And that's Alice in Wonderland.
Heard that's very good.
Yeah, very nicely animated, with all the sprites and such.
So is Snow White, apparently.
Yeah. But I'm on a Disney game quest. I mean, I've started watching Disney movies again, which began with The Lion King, continued... onto Beauty and the Beast the other week, and I saw the SNES version of Beauty and the Beast on eBay, and I was thinking, oh, I might get it, because it looked pretty cool.
If you're into your Disney Super Nintendo games, you should go no further than asking our friend and colleague, Jakob Liesenfeld, if you can borrow some. He has every single Super Nintendo Disney game.
Really?
That's all he has for a Super Nintendo and Donkey Kong Country.
Disney games. Wonder if he's got Beauty and the Beast.
He's got Moe Mallard and everything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's got... all of them. I've seen Beauty and the Beast. He has it.
Yeah. Okay. I was also interested in the NES version of Little Mermaid by Capcom, which looked pretty nice. Not that I've seen Little Mermaid, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I always thought it was a bit girly for me as a young lad.
Well, looking over my Game Boy Color collection, I have some Disney games. You have not mentioned. I have Disney's Tarzan. Quack Attack, which was pretty good. In regards to absolutely gash games for the Game Boy Color, unfortunately, the Lego games I've played, particularly Lego Stunt Racer, is a very bad game.
Okay, let's forget about them.
The Sinister Six Amazing Spider-Man 2 was a pretty bad game. made by Activision, surprise, surprise, and Alien.
Alien something or other.
Thanatos Encounter.
Mm. Okay. That's not good.
Thanatos Encounter, yeah. Just double checking.
Is it a pile of toss, Matthew? Yeah. A pile of Thanatos.
I'm not a fan of toss, but yes, it is.
Okay. Okay.
Some really, really bad games in the game.
Well, there were some good games. I remember Street Fighter Alpha Warriors Dreams.
Yes,
was all right.
Very good game.
What else? I had quite a few games. I have quite a few games.
The Wendy game based on
Micro Machines.
Casper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That Wendy meets game Wendy. Is very good.
Yeah. Really? Quite that's obscure. An interesting.
No, honestly, it's a very, very good platformer. It's quite obscure as well.
R-Type DX. Although that was one of the original ones that played on both.
Yeah,
it?
Well, I looked over a load of those when I was looking at it, but I couldn't find any bad ones on a black cartridge. There are I got Legend of the River King and Legend of the River King 2. There's Wario Land 2, which is also on a grey cart. Obviously, Wario Land 3 is a transparent cartridge.
Yes, that's a good game too.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which I got from a friend of the podcast, Ali at the Retro Hunter, who actually tweeted at me and said, glad to see the podcast back online.
nice.
Yeah, he's not that high-pitched about him in real life. But yeah, he was actually concerned, as were a few other people, and they were like, yay, the podcast is back.
How long were we away for?
We were away for the better portion of a month, really, if you think about it.
With the move and everything.
Because I recorded the podcast, the one that's up now, and hopefully by the time you hear this all...
Yeah, you want to address the fact you said it'd be up the next day.
Yeah, well, actually, no one heard that, so it doesn't matter. Because
it says
that's
it in the description.
Does it say it in the description?
I promise.
Oops.
Tomorrow I will upload the next.
Well, I kind of used all my data usage,
I know,
so I couldn't
in
really
the best
upload
situation
it.
Situation to make promises. Like.
No, I'm not. I didn't even upload a biographic this week, just because I
you did all the glory.
I did an all the glory instead of Looney Tunes because I didn't have time. It's been a very busy week. Unfortunately, I've not left work before 8 o'clock any night this week. It's a bit of a shame.
But back on track now, nearly.
Yes.
Once we get the other one up.
Well, the other one's already edited, so it'll hopefully be up. I may even upload it today.
You really have
even
to stress that you don't have internet.
I don't, and I really, really apologise for it, but it's out of my hands. Unfortunately, I ordered it through me company, and me company said I'd have it within a month, and it's been a month now, so I really need to get on chasing it. But hopefully soon we'll be back up to full speed, and then we can crack on with these things. Virtual Boy arrived in the UK as well. Looking forward
nice.
To getting home, sticking my face in that and being temporarily blind. But we'll see.
You're going to bring it over or not?
Mm-hmm.
You are. So I get to stick my face in it too?
You do get to stick your face in it. Right. I'm going home for Easter. I'm going to see my parents and stuff, which is the main reason I'm going home. But I'm also going to bring back my Virtual Boy.
Nice.
In my arms. Hug it. I'm also going to buy a load of Game Boy games.
Okay.
Hugging it. You know, like rocking it like a babe because it is a virtual boy, my virtual baby.
But
you
bought,
played anything
else?
You.
No, that's it. I've covered everything there. I'd say.
Fair enough.
I'm trying to save money. The only thing I bought games wise that Lion King game, but then I bought some CDs and some DVDs.
Did you just get a free copy of Rumble Arena? So it's all,
oh, that's
not
very
all
kind.
Bad.
Yes, thank you. And a free copy of NES Remix and a free copy of Olly Olly 2.
Where's my free shit?
I see what I can find.
Yay!
See what I can scrape together.
Wouldn't mind your copy of King of Fighters 95, Tom. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Why?
Because I haven't got it.
For the Game Boy?
Yeah, it's the only... I haven't got any of the game King of Fighters on
the
Game Boy.
That's the only game King of Fighters game I've got for Game Boy. You got a Battle Arena Toshinden for Game Boy?
Yes, I have Battle Arena Toshinden.
Hmm.
The fighting games the Game Boy I'm currently missing are Primal Rage,
right.
King of Fighters 95, King of Fighters Heat of Battle, World Jet Heroes 2, which is a more obscure one, and
World
Samurai
Heroes.
Showdown.
Samurai Showdown, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Actually, Jeeb, the guy who sent me Game Boy games and did a nice illustration of myself that you were commenting on when you came in,
yeah.
He's going to be starting a French version of kind of what I do with Biographic, but he's going to be focusing on the fighting games of the Game Boy. But he said he's going to also translate these episodes. Games. He does. He loves them.
So do I.
But he's been buying some of the Japanese-only fighting games.
Okay, specifically for Game Boy.
Yes, like Fatal Fury 2, yeah. Battle Area Toshinden 3, okay. Battle Arena, even not Area. Battle Arena Toshinden 3 is
you
on
got
the Game
me
Boy.
My battle area.
There's like an All-Stars SNK one as well that I can't remember the name of.
Okay, cool. I haven't collected... I mean, I collect fighting games, but I haven't focused on the Game Boy.
No, you have not.
And I haven't voted on the Game Boy really
at all.
At all, I have very few, as I mentioned before, Game Boy games.
Yeah.
Now I have one more, Lion King.
Yay!
Simba's Mighty Adventure.
I will look for that game. Well, actually, I'm curious to see what you think of that because
It's got to be better than the original Game Boy version of Lion King.
Yeah, well, the original version of the Lion King Game Boy is not very good, is it? Let's be honest.
Could be better.
Could be better.
Yeah. I hear, actually, that the Master System version is considered a better control than the Mega Drive version.
Oh, really?
I mean, I remember playing it a lot as a kid. I never really had any issues with that game. I really liked it.
I did buy one or two games for the Master System. I think I should give that console a bit more dues.
Yeah, you pretty much played Wonder Boy and...
I completed Sonic Chaos and was like, well, that's a really good, competent Sonic game. Good job. I then played, Wonder Boy. Hated it.
Do you still hate Wonder Boy?
Played Marble Madness. I was like, wow.
It's all right, Marble Madness. Right. For a trackball, would you?
Yeah, prefer a trackball. That'd be nice. Played Rampart, which was okay.
Clax.
Was a good version of Rampart. Played a bit of Clax, yeah.
Best in Clax?
Fuck, I need to buy Clax for the Game Boy at some point. I'm not looking forward to it. Fun and games, I guess.
But fun and games.
We should end it here.
That's a good way to sum up video game podcast, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Hopefully. Hopefully fun. Hopefully not. Going on and on and on and on.
Matthew,
and if you thought it was if you thought it was fun, maybe you should go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TomAtAttack. Give us a like there, share it with some people you know. Go over to our iTunes at itunes.com/TomAtAttack. That doesn't actually exist, but never mind. While you're in iTunes, after you've
searched... No, they can't go to itunes.com/TomAtAttack.
God, if only they could. No, while you go into iTunes and you search for Tom and Matt Attack, be sure to give us a cheeky rate and subscribe if you haven't already and let some other people know. Stitcher does exist, I think, still. I got an email a couple of weeks back around Christmas saying, like, yeah, we formed with this thing. So I don't know if Stitcher is still a thing anymore, which is why I've not really been mentioning it that much. And you can also check us out on blastprocess.com. You can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. If you tweet at me, I will reply. I'm not really manning it as much as I used to. Maybe I should hand the baton on to you, Thomas.
Well, actually, I just put Twitter on my smartphone the other day.
Ho, ho, ho.
I'm not a big tweeter.
You were not a big tweeter.
But now you're telling me maybe I should be.
Maybe you can be.
Okay. You'll have to instruct me in the ways of the tweet.
I will. 140 characters or less, though. That's how I'll do it. Right, until next week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, podcast listeners, and...
You're rambling on again.
I am, yeah. Right, game
on. Bye. Game on.